We are in a battle. In fact, follow along, and I'm going to read the text again. But I've highlighted this text with some words that remind us of the battle. So again, you can follow on the screen or in your Bible. You can circle some of those in your Bible to remind us all about the warfare we're in. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You'll find that word stand occurring over and over in this passage. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, and put shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. Paul is writing this, and he's saying, don't forget to pray for me, that words may be given to me to open my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador and am currently chained to a Roman soldier at that time. He's writing this, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So you can picture him right now as he's chained to a Roman soldier, in fact, probably a couple of them, and he's looking at their equipment, he's looking at their dress, and he's using them as an illustration of the warfare that we are in our spiritual lives. Battle preparedness is important. I'm sure Manning and Jorge could tell us much more than I could ever begin to tell you about what that preparedness looks like. But here in this passage, the command to be prepared with the right power for warfare, the right equipment. There's a briefing in this passage on the enemy, and we find many other passages in the Word of God. There's a detailing of the equipment and its purpose. There's the challenge to stay alert, and there's the challenge to have concern for fellow troops. So we see that all throughout this passage, Paul is writing on behalf of the Lord and saying, we need to be prepared for this battle, and so let's work our way through that over the next few weeks. One of the key words we find in our text that reminds us of this battle is struggle. The struggle. And there we find that, I believe it's in verse 12. For we do not wrestle or struggle against flesh and blood. This word struggle or wrestle, it means hand-to-hand combat. Practiced in Greece, in which two people would fight to hold one another down. It required constant exertion and concentration. Think a wrestling match. How many of you have ever been in wrestling before? Okay, some of you guys, all right? Maybe some of you ladies were. That's a kind of a new sport for ladies as well. But men, you've been engaged in wrestling match with a brother or a foe on the wrestling match. But this is talking about hand-to-hand combat, intense struggles, muscles bulging, and energy being exerted. Howard Hendricks, former professor of Dallas Theological Seminary, said, "The Christian life is a battle. Spiritual warfare is a reality to be faced, not a concept to be debated." Joe Stoll, former president of Moody, and now the president of Cornerstone College in Grand Rapids, said this, "We need to be reminded that there is another world, a far more and important and dangerous world where we do battle with every day." The founder of modern-day nursing, Florence Nightingale, a rather confusing person to figure out where her faith stood, but she had it right on this quote, "Life is a hard fight, a struggle, a wrestling with the principle of evil, hand-to-hand,
foot to foot. Every inch of the way is disputed. Again, I'm thinking about the battle that many of our servicemen and women are facing over in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other places in the world, but in particular the Middle East. Imagine for a moment if we sent these young troops out to the battlefield and just said, be nice, drive around and be aware of what's going on, help the people, and if things get a little rough, just try to do what you can. What do you think? They'd be in a heap of trouble. Terrible trouble. They need to know the dangers, and so they spend a lot of time in grueling preparation for the battle. They need to know what's involved in the warfare. They need to be prepared, and they need the right equipment and the right training. Well, Paul is warning us as believers that there is tough going ahead. Maybe you have experienced it already. If not, you will. I'm sure all of us have, though. So fasten your seatbelt and be ready for a rough ride. But your first responsibility is to be aware that you and I are in a battle. Second, we are at war with an enemy that we cannot see. So we are in a battle and we're warring against an enemy that we cannot see. Isn't that fun? That is a challenge. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and we're going to just repeat some of these verses to you. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But notice the end of the verse, spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our struggle, our battle, our wrestling match to the death is not against physical or material adversaries like people, circumstances, or organizations. It is against a hierarchy of demonic forces doing battle in the spiritual realm. Just as there are generals and privates and lots of ranks, and I don't know, apparently that's a part of the training. Jorge and Manning could kind of let you know about that. And as soon as you look at someone's uniform and the stripes or pins or whatever, you know exactly their rank and you know what you ought to do. And you better do it right, or they're going to make sure that you get in good tip-top shape. But that's, I believe, what's being talked about here in this very verse. Against authorities, against cosmic powers and present darkness. All of these, I think it's showing that there is a ranking, and we don't know exactly how that all figures out in the ranking, but we know that there are forces that are against us that have a role and they have power, and they are going to do everything they can to destroy us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So we find again, it's not just a fleshly battle. If we could, we could see our enemy, we could do something about it and know when he comes. But that's not fair. It's an invisible force that we're against. Ephesians 6:11, put on the armor of God, therefore, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Schemes is an interesting word. We probably don't understand necessarily schemes, but we can understand strategies. That's another word for it. You know, it always has bothered me that when you think about the internet, or you think about those phone calls where people are just kind of calling around and looking for vulnerable people to buy their product. It bothers me that there are people on the other end of the internet line, there are people on the other side of the phone, on the other end of the phone, that are trying to scam us. Especially on the internet these days. They're trying to scam us. They're trying to get us into the system so that they can take advantage of us and get our money and ruin us. That's not playing fair. I don't like that. I want to play by the rules. And here what we see before us, the scheming of the devil. That's a word that means temptations that are not just random. We're talking about lies and conflicts and cravings that the evil one is trying to draw us into. They're part of his plan to make us casualties in this war. They are organized plans, below-the-belt attacks, designed to neutralize us as followers of Christ and to fill us with fear as we live out our Christian lives. Notice 1 Peter, what Peter says. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion trying to be nice and lick your face. No, he's seeking to devour us. The next slide shows what we were aware of for many, many weeks as we followed the story in upstate New York. I followed it very carefully because I'm from upstate New York. Not up in that part of exactly that far. That was about 2 hours from where my dad and our family grew up and where my dad still lives. But they were looking for escaped convicts. You remember that story? They were searching in terrible conditions. The next slide kind of shows you again about, it shows you some of the forest area of that particular part of the country. And it was, there were bugs and snakes, poisonous snakes, and heat, and all kinds of evil situations that were going on in there. Bear as well. You know, the difference between our warfare and that, they at least had pictures of the guys they were looking for. Now, they were careful. They were looking around every corner. Those guys could have been up in a tree. They could have been in a cabin somewhere. And we know we followed the story. But the difference with our warfare that we are in, every one of us here who are followers of Christ, is that we're fighting against an enemy that we can't see. We have no picture to look for. We don't know where they're coming from, and they are out to defeat us. It is kind of more like the experience in Fox Lake. If there is a bad guy, or if there are bad guys, we don't know who they are, at least at this point. We don't seem to know who they are. And that is frustrating when you cannot see and you don't know who your enemy is, at least by way of physically being able to, you know, touch him or see him or be aware of where he is. We are at war with an enemy that is relentless. Isn't that encouraging? We need to be aware of that. Because he will use every means at his disposal. And the next time I preach, I'll be giving some more specifics on ways he does tempt and try us and try to trip us up. But our enemy fights the war on all fronts. In our personal lives, when we're alone, at school, at work, at home, at church. Just think with me about what it's like on Sunday mornings in your house. When do things go bad? When do things go really weird? Saturday night, Sunday morning, as you're trying to get ready for the service? The demonic realm is real, and we need to be aware of it. However, we need to be careful of two extremes, and so I've put that in your notes. We need to be careful of two extremes. Number one, some Christians almost totally ignore or deny the reality of this war. They deny that there really is a demonic world out there, and when they do think about it, they think of the devil in a red suit with horns and just maybe at a masquerading party. This is kind of a worldview that many people outside of knowing Christ hold to. It's called naturalism. In this view, everything has a natural cause and nothing exists beyond what our eyes can see. There's no room for the supernatural. The spiritual and the supernatural do not factor much into our everyday lives. That is that worldview. But I trust that you don't hold to that view. I hope you don't hold to the next view as well. Number two, some Christians seem to give it far more attention than Scripture does. They treat spiritual warfare as a lens through which they view everything in life. In fact, if you get a flat tire, must be Satan sent a flat tire demon to take care of you. All right? Maybe if you burned your toast or your roast, you have a devil that is in charge of the roast and the toast. And they're there and they're making life miserable for you. I don't think we ought to see the devil behind every burnt toast or burnt roast. This worldview is built more on fictional books and movies than on the Bible. David Powelson wrote this, "A great deal of fiction superstition, fantasy, nonsense, nuttiness, and downright heresy flourishes in the church under the guise of spiritual warfare in our time. So we have to be careful that we don't go to either extreme. C.S. Lewis had an interesting statement about this tendency towards one extreme or another. He said this in his Screwtape Letters. There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel as excessive and unhealthy interest in them. Also, Martin Luther said this. He noted that Christians are often like a drunk trying to get on his horse. First, the drunk falls off one side, only to get back on and fall off the other side. I thought that was well stated. Given the stakes of this war, we cannot afford to fall off on either side. We need to have balance. We need to believe that there is an enemy that is out to destroy us, but we must not be obsessed and afraid because we have the Lord Jesus Christ to enable us. We have a longtime enemy, though, and we're going to consider that in a few weeks, and we're going to talk more about that. In fact, we find in the Old Testament, right off in the Garden of Eden, that's where the spiritual warfare began. Where was it? The Garden of Eden. A perfect environment, and there Satan got involved and created havoc and began to twist God's word, change God's authority, at least in their minds, and questioned God's goodness and lied to Adam and Eve. After the fall, God promised that this warfare would be ongoing. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, we read, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So it's here talking about the serpent would have a bruised head, a fatal blow. And the seed of the woman, referring to Jesus Christ, would have a bruised heel or an injury, but it was not permanent. And we know that that's referring to the death of Christ and his resurrection. This is the gospel in many form way back in the Old Testament, but it told about this battle that would be going on and would be ultimately realized, fully realized, when Christ came and died on the cross. That's when Satan thought he had the victory, but he did not. Christ had the ultimate victory. We'll talk more about that in 2 weeks. But we have an enemy. We need to be aware. So folks, first of all, we need to be aware we're in a battle. Second, we need to battle against forces that we cannot see that are intent to destroy us. And so we'll learn more about that. But third, we dare not fight the war in our own strength. A lot of the songs we sang today were referring to this need to be strong in the Lord and to depend upon Him and look to His strength. We find here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of His might. None of us can fight this battle on our own. Self-sufficiency is a killer in this battle. We can't run from it either. So lest you think, well, I'm just going to stay away from it. No, you are in it. And if you are complacent this morning, if you're just not caring about this battle, then you have already been affected by the enemy. And you need to take note of that and be on the alert and find your strength for the war in our great God. It's a command. This command is to be strong in God's power. But interestingly enough, it's in the passive voice. Now you're saying, what in the world are you talking about? Let me give the idea of what's involved in this. The command is this: allow yourself to be continually strengthened by the power that is available to you. Let me read that again. Allow yourself to be continually strengthened by the power that's available to you in your position in Christ. It is the power that raised Jesus from the dead and now dwells within you. Do you realize that? We have resurrection power available to us to help us in this fight. And so when you hear words like strong and strength, the Greek word is translated in the English and it means dynamite. We have dynamite power available to us, resurrection power to help us in this fight. And that's what makes the difference. We're not on our own. It's not in our own strength, but we must rely upon Him. So, I'm going to just bring this in for a landing. We're just going to conclude here. But I want you to begin thinking about this. I want you to read about this passage. And I want you to, I'll give you a challenge. Look up other passages in the Word of God that talks about this battle that we're in. But by way of review, here we go. We need to know that we are in a war. Do you know you're in a war now? I've warned you. You are in a battle. Battle every day. You are in a war. Number two, we need to know that we are in a war with an enemy we cannot see who does not play fair. He doesn't play by the rules. In fact, he attacks you when you're most vulnerable. I have learned in my own life, and it's kind of sad, the sad reality, but I'm glad I know it. I am most vulnerable on Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. After I am absolutely worn out of my mind. You just ask my wife. I come in the house and I'm like, food, and then sleep, you know. But I'm vulnerable, and I find that temptation is right there, and I have to be so careful in that moment and Monday to be careful as I come off the weekend. You probably have those moments as well. Alone time at the end of the day, when you're frustrated from a busy week, the devil loves those times in your life when you're most vulnerable. Be on guard. Well, we're in a war. We fight against someone who is not fair and all of his demons available to him. And third, we cannot fight this war on our own. But I leave you with hope, not with defeat. Be encouraged, believers, with this truth. We are on the winning side. You know what? Some of you, you know, you like to jump on with the Cubs bandwagon when they're winning. That's great. You know, but you haven't been on the bandwagon for many, many years. We all like to be with winners. And you know what? It's great to know the end of the story. We know the last chapter of the book tells us that we win. We're on the winning side. We know the final chapter. We know the end of the story. So Christians, don't lose heart. Tony Evans had these encouraging words for us. Bear with me, just two slides here, but it's really well worth the read. You can fight the battles because you have a champion who knows how to guide your every move. In fact, this champion, God, and through Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, has already made the final move on the devil, securing your victory forever. If you will simply play out the remainder of the game according to His directions and underneath the overarching rule of His kingdom agenda, you will claim your victory. That is guaranteed. The great thing is that you don't have to earn your victory, nor do you have to figure it out for yourself. God has already given you everything you need in order to make your next move on your path to triumph. As we begin, I want you to realize this key principle. You are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. This battle has already been won. That is tremendous news. And so I challenge you today with this last thought. Our knowledge and application of the Word of God is absolutely crucial for this battle. We need to listen to our commander and communicate with our commander. And with that in mind, let's go to our commander in prayer. Let's all stand as we close our service together. Our Heavenly Father, it is great to know that we have instructions on how to defeat our enemy. We are not alone. We have a commander in charge. We have someone who has won the victory. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who assured that victory through His resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that we might be on guard this week as the devil attacks, as circumstances come our way that He could use to trip us up, Lord, may we be aware that we have the resources available. And help us to learn in these weeks ahead how we better can live the victorious Christian life. We pray this in Christ's name.